When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
We're going to switch away from all the stadium game stuff and the Commanders and the Eagles to talk some college football playoff, which begins in earnest tomorrow night. The first ever 12-team college football playoff. And joining us now on the BetQL guest hotline is Jay Paterno, author, coach, commentator. Of course, you know the name. His latest book, Blitzed, The All-Out Pressure of College Football's New Era, which takes a look at, of course, the 12-team playoff and NIL and all sorts of issues dealing with the game. You can learn more at his website, that's V as in Victor, Paterno, jvpaterno.com. And Jay is with us on the guest hotline. Jay, it's Chris and Linnell. Thank you so much for your time. How are you?
Thanks, Jay.
Great. How about you guys?
Doing good, wonderful. Doing awesome. Great to have you. And obviously, get to pick your brain. And, you know, let's just kind of, I was mentioning, you know, your latest in terms of the book, Blitzed. How much of... I guess how hard is it for you, who spent your life and obviously your dad's legacy at Penn State, in the game of college football, to process what is college football now? Let's start there.
Well, I've been consulting on NIL with the group nationally for 4 years, so I've been ahead of the game as to what's coming. I mean, even 3 years ago, I'm on the board of trustees at Penn State, and I was telling other trustees, revenue sharing is coming. It's going to be about $20 million a year. I emailed the chair of the committee that 3 years ago. So it's not surprising because if you follow the legal proceedings, you will get whiplash, though, because if you don't like the current model of college football, give it 3 days. It's going to change. Yesterday, the quarterback at Vanderbilt gets another year because the NCAA says, the judge says you can't hold somebody back because of Jason times in a JUCO. So it's a constantly changing thing.
I want to piggyback on the situation yesterday with the eligibility being, you know, not counting from JUCO. What type of impact do you think that ultimately is going to have on the college football landscape? Because I know there are a lot of fringe, you know, D1 players that, you know, maybe are undersized or not strong enough yet that, you know, sometimes maybe put their career on the shelf because there isn't another option for them. Do you look at JUCO being a more viable option for guys because it's basically like getting free football, essentially, like a developmental program?
Yeah, it used to be guys would go to prep schools for a year, do a post-grad year, or they would go, or JUCOs were places where you'd stash guys that weren't good enough students, and they'd come in 2 years later, and they'd have 3 years to play two. So I think it does change, you know, if that does hold. I think that does change the game a little bit because guys, especially this year, coming out because the roster limit is, you know, there is no roster limit. It's going to go to 105 next year. So a team like Penn State that has 125 guys in their rosters, 20 guys are going to get booted into the system. So guys coming out of high school, man, they have the options that they want. It might not be a bad idea for them to take that route.
Jay Paterno with us. Again, you can check out more. Blitzed is his latest. The all-out pressure of college football's new era with us on the BetQL guest hotline. So Jay, let's obviously start with, you know, where the Paterno name made so famous, Penn State Happy Valley. It's not going to be very Happy Valley on Saturday evening if this team can't get past SMU and figure out a way to advance to the second round. And there's a lot of pressure, as you know, on James Franklin because, and you point this out, right, Penn State is a 6 seed. Ohio State is an 8 seed. I think we all know what happened to Ohio State, but Ohio State beat Penn State in Happy Valley in the regular season, and yet they both have the same losses, and Penn State's ranked ahead of them. But Penn State, just like Ohio State, Ryan Day's got to win a game. Penn State's got to win a game here, or there's going to be massive heat on James Franklin.
Yeah, you know, I have a show, Nittany Game Week, and early in the year we had Greg McElroy on ESPN, and he said it's not enough to make the playoff anymore for people. He said even, you know, you have to make some noise. And Penn State, the national perception is that Penn State got an easy path with SMU and Boise State to the semifinals. Mm-hmm. So that narrative is out there. But when I got ready to do our show this week, which we taped already, SMU's got players. And, I mean, they've got a quarterback that is a real danger running the ball, throwing the ball. This is not going to be a cakewalk. Fortunately, it's going to be in the 20s, which I think helps us a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
The average temperature of SMU's last 6 games at kickoff is about 65 degrees. So this one, that'll be a little different. But you're exactly right. For guys like Ryan Day, guys like James Franklin, the fan base is such that the pressure is on to win these games, not just get into the playoff.
With all that being said, I understand the pressure that is on this James Franklin group in particular. When you look at the way that they've played this year, though, how much does that last game of the season against Oregon, what type of confidence do you think that gives this group? To put up 37 points against that football team was uber impressive. I look at the Ohio State loss from earlier in the year. I thought they played their hearts out. What type of momentum do you think that last game of the season gives them against SMU? Because I think it's going to be a rude, rude welcoming to the college football playoff traveling to Happy Valley in negative degree weather this weekend.
I hope you're right. But I think sometimes getting confidence in a game you lost, you know, as a coach, you hate to even hear people talk like that. But I think the reality is this, is – if this game is a one-score game in the fourth quarter, you got to win this one. This is one, and it could very well be, because like I said, SMU, you know, the first quarter of the Clemson game, they looked like a team that had never been on a stage like that before. The last 3 quarters, they dominated the game. I mean, they found, you know, just like Penn State kind of found some confidence. I think SMU probably found some confidence because Clemson is a name team, and they should have won the game. They made a couple of real big mistakes. So I think there's no question that Penn State should have confidence. But again, you gotta get to where you get over the hump in those games. And I think if you look at, you know, you guys talk about Ohio State. Ohio State has beaten Indiana, has beaten Penn State, and lost to Oregon by 1 out there. I was actually at that game live. And, you know, those teams they're physical, they're fast. I think the one thing Penn State is going to have to show on Saturday is that they can get behind SMU on the outside one-on-one, because we have not done that on a regular basis all year. And if SMU can make this a 9-on-9 game in the box, that benefits them, because they're good up front. They're one of the top pass rush teams in the country. They've gotten 15 interceptions on defense. So this, you know, this is one of those ones I tell all my friends up here, buckle up and get ready. And look, we win by 10 points or more, be happy. But, I mean, if we win by 1, be happy, because you advance.
Good stuff from Jay Paterno. Again, you can order his new book, a signed copy of his new book, available at jvpaterno.com. jvpaterno.com. It's called Blitz, the All-Out Pressure of College Football's New Era. And not to make this all about Penn State, but obviously that's, you know, again, but expanding the argument, this week we were confronted with a new element and a new twist. And quite honestly, Jay, I didn't think about this. I should have, but I didn't. When Penn State's backup quarterback said, nope, I'm out, transfer portal, what have you. And then James Franklin and then SMU's coach and others have now weighed in saying, whoa, what are we doing having transfer portal open during the college football playoff, a portion of the year? That's not fair to Penn State. That's not fair to the kids. How do you make heads or tails out of what they're going to do and the whole problem, I guess, with the system?
Well, I think you're 100% right in that it's not fair to – it's neither fair to the school nor to the kids. And I think one of the things that has happened, and in the consulting the last couple of years, I've seen this kind of coming, and that's one of the reasons that I was passionate about writing this book. And the book is is really it's a fiction book, but it's what I call nonfiction fiction. These are all real stories that are going on, mm-hmm. and you're going to see things like that in this book where the kids' families are saying, "Well, if you don't jump now in the NIL, it's like musical chairs. The school you want to go to is going to get a quarterback from somewhere else, and he's going to get an NIL deal." And the pressures on these kids to make money in NIL, because the families are all looking at this and saying, well, you got to maximize your earnings. And the kids are looking at it and saying, I got to perform on the field, make money. Oh, and by the way, go to school. And I need playing time because I want to get to the next level. So there is a mental health aspect that's part of this as well. We're putting an awful lot of pressure on some very, very young people. And that's one of the things I think that people that read this book will find. And I think there are some things in this book that people could look and say, these are kind of solutions. Even though it is fiction, it is really nonfiction. And I feel for the kids in this thing. But I think where this plane has to land, mm-hmm. if you're the NCAA and you're college football, is revenue sharing is coming. Let's just be honest about right. it. We're in the sports entertainment business at a college campus. The Big Ten media rights from Rutgers to Maryland all the way out to USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington. It's $1.1 billion a year. Who are we kidding? You know, you can't be a little bit pregnant. We are pregnant. We're yeah. in this thing. There's no going back. So let's be honest about it. Revenue sharing has got to happen. Collective bargaining has got to happen. And we got to protect the kids and protect the schools and make this thing equitable for everybody.
Essentially pro sports.
For sure. And speaking
I mean, let's like I said, $1 billion. Yeah. That's just the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And that doesn't include March Madness. You know,
right.
I mean, let's get, who are we in here?
You mentioned it being similar to pro sports. I think some universities are going to start maybe taking the pro sport model. You see what UNC is doing with bringing in Coach Belichick and then hiring a general manager, quote unquote, and former NFL exec Michael Lombardi. Just your thoughts on the situation at North Carolina, and do you think with the changing landscape of NIL, your program structure is going to have to change significantly? Because I think some of these programs are struggling because they don't have guys strictly designated to the NIL portion of this. They're kind of working double duty.
Well, I think the reality right now is under the current model, unless it changes with a collective bargaining arrangement, is we have coaches and players that are all independent contractors. Mm-hmm. And they are free at any time within these windows, obviously. But they're free to go from school to school as they want to find the best deal and to find the best quote unquote position job slash whatever for them. Look at what the schools, I get some people of like.
Ah, we're losing. Maddie, can you put him on hold and see if we can get him back? We're in the midst of being joined by Jay Paterno, the son of the legendary Joe Paterno. Jay, of course, was involved in recruiting and the recruiting coordinator for a long time at Penn State, and his latest is called Blitzed, the All-Out Pressure of College Football's New Era. You can order signed copies at jvpaterno.com. We're trying to get him back on the horn here. Just real quickly while we have a moment, because there's so much going on, and a lot of it is centered around Penn State. First of all, I can't wait for that game. I'm very intrigued by how SMU is going to handle the weather, you know, how good
and
SMU truly is.
And that's why I don't give them much of a shot.
Yeah,
it's just different.
Right.
It's a different beast for them, man. And Penn State, you know what they're going to do. They're going to line up and punch you in the face.
And listen, they were almost run off the floor by Clemson, and then they recovered, and they got up. It was like, you know, okay, Jay is back with us now. Jay, you back with us? Okay, sorry, we lost you there. That's all right.
I think I was talking about Belichick and saying, he doesn't have to deal with a team owner. The GM reports to him, and he's going to be able to do some things that he maybe couldn't do in the NFL level and certainly get paid NFL-type money.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We are, again, being joined by Jay Paterno. Again, his latest Blitzed, the All-Out Pressure of College Football's New Era. So, you know, there's so much business, but ultimately, Jay, the beauty of the 12-team playoff is we get more meaningful football. Obviously, I know Penn State and SMU is number one, but which other game, if there's one other, you know, that ranks ahead of the other two this weekend, that you're most looking forward to, and why?
Well, I think Ohio State is really going to be an interesting watch this whole playoff because they are as talented a team as there is in the country. They're angry right now. I mean, they really just, you know, crapped the bed against against Michigan for whatever reason, and they've had time to kind of figure some things out. You know, when they lost to Oregon, they had a week off and came back like a different team. And I think they're really dangerous in this tournament. So I want to see how they play against Tennessee, what the atmosphere is like, how they play, how the quarterback Howard plays, because certainly he had a great year up until that Michigan game. So that's the one that I'm really, really intrigued to see. And I'm also curious to see Clemson. I mean, do they get confidence out of this thing? You know, Joel Klatt on Fox made a comment about Penn State and Texas's resume. When you look at it, the most important thing is who they lost to. The biggest thing on it is that they had good losses without that really significant win, where Ohio State has had wins over Penn State and Indiana. So I'm curious to see what the Texas-Clemson game looks like, too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I think looking at where Texas currently stands, I look at the quarterback and Quinn Ewers and what he has to gain from playing really well in this college football playoff. It's going to be interesting to see. Your all's quarterback out of Penn State announced his return back to Happy Valley. What did you think of, you know, how he was able to improve this year? And then what did you make of the decision overall?
Well, I think he made some great strides this year. There's no question about it. But I think if you know, you look at it because of NIL, it's easier to stay another year because you can get some money to stay, number one. Number two, I don't think anybody projected him to be a first-round pick right now. Again, I may be wrong and whatever, but I think he would dramatically help himself by staying another year at Penn State and playing another year and having, you know, really 3 years as a starter. So I think this all bodes really, really well for him and for Penn State with him coming back. You know, obviously Ewers has Arch Manning breathing down his neck. So I'm not sure what his plans are for next year. But, you know, I think one of the things that you're seeing is I think it's harder and harder to put together a really good offensive football team that can be really successful in the red zone without that run threat at quarterback. And if you look at Texas, where they faltered against Georgia, they faltered in the red zone a couple of times. And I think that's going to be, you know, Arch Manning has that ability. I mean, Arch, everybody thinks about Peyton and Eli not being running guys, but Cooper Manning, I was at UVA years ago when Cooper Manning was coming out. Cooper Manning was a great athlete before he got hurt. So, I mean, Arch has got a little better genetics from the running standpoint.
No, you're right.
His uncles do.
You're right.
I think that surprised everybody. So I think he's really a wild card as this thing goes forward.
Jay Paterno with us again. His latest available at his website, jvpaterno.com. It's called Blitzed, the all-out pressure of college football's new era. One more for you, Jay. Appreciate your time. Just a kind of thought, if you will, on, you know, like around here in the DMV area, you got Maryland, you got Virginia Tech, which is not in the DMV area, but a lot of alum here. Specific to Maryland and Mike Locksley, how do you take a middling program, what I would describe as a middling program, you know, that is competitive but is clearly not good enough, that is in a really tough conference, the Big Ten, and we know the reasons why they – how do you make it better even in this – transfer portal, free agency, NIL era? Is it just simply getting lucky and landing the big fish, or is there a different way that you could think of that's you have to do this in this era?
Well, I think you got to get depth. I think that's one of the things that teams like Maryland, even Rutgers this year, Rutgers had 7-8 guys get hurt. Well, they're probably a 9-win team.
Yeah, good point.
They had 7-8 starters. So I think you got to stay healthy, number one. You got to build some depth. And you gotta find some guys that, you know, what people realize, there's a lot of guys out there that don't get recruited or aren't heavily recruited, and you can find those guys. The last 10 years we were Penn State, we've got 12 walk-on guys that had multi-year careers in the NFL simply because we just kept looking under rocks. And, you know, that's probably not a good analogy, but you get the point.
Yeah.
There are guys, you know, we had a kid from Northern Virginia, Deion Butler, came to Penn State, walked on, and was an incredible player for us. And so I think you got to find some of those guys. And then I think you got to build a program, not a team. I think one of the things Maryland has had, and I've watched them the last several years, they've had really, really talented skill guys. I think where they have where they've gotten themselves in trouble, sometimes they get big penalties in big games. You know, every time they play Penn State, seem to get behind early and not be able to stay with them. And I think that that's going to be the key for whether it's them jumping up or it's a Virginia Tech jumping up is, you know, getting that kind of foundation, finding some guys that really, really buy into what you want to do, and then getting those guys to be juniors and seniors in your program because mm-hmm. you're going to be playing teams like Penn State with massive turnover that are going to have younger guys, years where they have younger guys. And if you can get that veteran team, that gives you a major advantage because, look, talent without experience is going to lose the talent with experience almost every time. And, you know, everybody remembers the run Butler had in the NCAA tournament yep. years ago. They were a senior-laden team. UVA's basketball team, when they won the national championship, a lot of 50-year guys on that team. And you're saying, 50-year guys, is that still a thing in major college basketball? And I think that's what's got to happen for Loxley. I think Loxley's done a really good job of getting Maryland to this point. And I think he's got the ability, and I think he has the talent base to take that next step and jump into that. But as you said, this conference has gotten really, really difficult. Oregon is not going away anytime soon. I spent time with Dan Lanning. There's a guy that really knows what he is all about, and that's an example of some of the things you got to deal with.
Jay Paterno, again, his latest, Blitzed, the all-out pressure of college football's new era. Available signed copies and much, much more, including the Pigskin Stew blog, which I love the name of that. Jay, I could always use some Pigskin Stew of the actual eating variety.
There is an actual recipe, and it includes 3 pounds of meat.
Ooh, all right.
It's on the website. So if you got a crock pot, you go get that recipe.
There you go, baby.
It'll feed an army.
There you go. JVPaterno.com. Jay, appreciate it. Happy holidays to you and your family. Great stuff on all of this changing landscape in college football. Enjoy the games this weekend. Thanks again for doing this.
Same to you guys, and hope everybody in the DMV has a real Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all the happy holidays, all that stuff.
Will do. Thank you, Jay. Jay Paterno with us. Good spot there. Glad we were able to get him on.